Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, we get a peek at Mech Fans Toys' legend-scaled Black Rodimus Prime. Generation Toys has an electroplated version of their Devastator on the way, and are we getting an Earthrise Skylynx and Scorponok? Today is Wednesday, February 5th, 2020, and this is episode 367 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that is perfect Super Bowl counter-programming. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Go Leafs, go. Let's talk Transformers.
I have nothing to say about that. All right.
Perfect. I love it.
We are also joined by a special guest, Ant from TFU.info and Transformers University. Welcome.
Hi, and is it too early for flapjacks? A little Groundhog Day reference there for you.
Oh, that was hands down the best commercial to Super Bowl.
Oh, definitely. Although the Ellen one was pretty damn good. We liked the Ellen one a lot.
It didn't have Bill Murray.
It didn't, but it had Ellen, and she was funny. I don't know. Bill Murray's pretty good.
Well, Ant, thanks for joining us this week, and we appreciate you because you are also a Transmissions Donatrion, so thank you for that as well. But first and foremost, we appreciate you for running the excellent website TFU.info. That is a place where you can get all the information about Transformers figures. It's a huge database, and it's very helpful for figuring out when you have a toy, you don't know what it is. You can go and search there and figure it out. And it's been a resource that we've all used for a long time. So we Damn just right. really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm on it at least once a week.
That might be more than I am these days.
And of course, your podcast, Transformers University, that that's been going for about a couple years now. So
probably about two. Let's see, I started in the end of 2017, so a little over 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So that's been, and you've had us on for different segments for lots of things. So it's just really cool continuing to see you take a trip into Transformers history, and you know, we're all working on our degree, so we can
as if you need another here. One.
Yeah, shut up, man.
So if somehow you haven't heard of TFU.info or Transformers University, we will have links in the show notes. Although the link for TFU.info is TFU.info, so that should be easy.
Yeah, but, and it's commonly people like to say TFU.info.com, and I'm always like, no, there's no .com.
In order to fix that, you'd have to buy info.com. that's probably not going to happen.
But yeah, TFU.info, no com, so check that out. And Ant is no stranger to Transformers, so I don't think we have to worry about your expertise here. I think, and we did have you on once before, but unfortunately you weren't able to make it through the whole show, so we're hoping we get you here through the whole show and for alt mode this week. So
absolutely,
thanks for coming on. Yeah. All right. Well, as always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, and we did that already with Ant, but we thank all of our Donatrions for continuing to contribute to the show. That really helps us keep the show going and allows us to pay for hosting and, all the little tools we need to get the show going. And we would just really appreciate all our Donatrions for continuing to help us there. So if you are not a Donatrion and you'd like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's how you can find links to sign up either on Patreon or PayPal.
I just want to say, by becoming a Donatrion, it doesn't mean that you become a guest host on the show. Ant has a significant amount of history and specialties with the Transformers. So And he has a really good mic, so that's that's one of the reasons why he gets to come on here. Just happens to be a Donatreon.
Occasionally, I'm even a donator.
Oh
no! okay, I'll just swallow my anger here. Continue on.
Ant was a host.
No. we invited you, so I we can't cut you off in the middle. All right. Well, anyway, if you would like to also help out the show by buying some merchandise, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop and you can access our T Public store. You can get some cool Transmissions shirts and other Transformers themed shirts and lots of other shirts at T Public. But if you use our link, that helps out the show. You can also use the link for our friend K-Girl. Her link is at tpublic.com/user/superstarK. And she has a lot of cool designs that she's done herself because she is an awesome artist. We also want to remind you that Empire of Rust, our Transformers live play RPG run by our producer and editor Mike, is episode 16 is up this week, The Maul of Cybertron. So that should already be in your feed if you are listening regularly. But if not, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Now, one of the perks of being a Transmissions Donatreon is that you are automatically entered in the monthly Toy Hacks $10 gift code drawing. So we are going to do the January 2020 drawing right now. You can also enter without being a Donatreon by sending an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com. And in your email, send us a picture of a Transformers toy you would like to get stickers for. So that's an easy way to enter. But yeah, so we have our drawing for this week. Jeremy, is your assistant ready?
Computer, are you ready?
I'm ready when you are.
Well, I thought that with Ant being the guest, he was going to make the drawing.
Well, considering that he could actually win, I don't know if that'd be fair.
Oh, I guess not.
I mean, if he does win, it's already going to look pretty rigged. So
it would, like, he could hack Alexa.
all blame this time is going to go on Ellen DeGeneres.
All right, Jeremy, if you could have our computer give us a random number between 1 and 91.
Computer, give me a random number between 1 and 91.
Your random number between 1 and 91 is 86.
86 goes to Rick Kappa. Rick Kappa, long time Donatreon. Nice.
Congratulations, Rick.
Yeah, I think we met Rick at TFU Chicago, the first TFU Chicago in TFU? 2014. TFCon, sorry.
I mean, I've been to Chicago. But...
starting his own conventions.
TFCon Chicago 2014, the first TFCon in the U.S. And yeah, Rick was there. He gave us a big hug. Awesome. Rick, congratulations.
So you're saying Rick already got his prize.
And, you know, we look forward to seeing pictures of whichever figure you want to get stickered up.
Mm-hmm. I'll be in touch with you, Rick. And at some point, I tend to put these off, and then I get back to you. You'll get your full prize eventually. Yeah, I'll send you a message, and we'll iron out the details at some point in 2020.
Look forward to your prize eventually. All right, well, that's all the housekeeping we got. So let's get right into some transforming toy news.
All right, and the first one we've got up this week is, I think I'm gonna talk about a couple just repaints. Generation Toys is putting out a electroplated version of their Gravity Builder, and this is their Devastator figure that they brought out a couple years ago now, and this is a limited edition set, and it's expected out in April, but it's super shiny. All the purple is like really super chromed up. I think that's pretty much the only real difference here, but it looks pretty badass. I mean, this was a really nice set. The downside of this set, the Gravity Builder set, is it was knocked off. So there was a way to get it in the same size class as the original, like the Gravity, like the Generation Toy version from THN or something like that or whatever. But it was some Chinese company, and they were pretty cheap, and I ended up actually buying that. And then there was an upscaled version from Jinbao. So it was knocked off twice, and to have this set be to come out from Generation Toys proper, you know, limited edition or not, there's an awful lot of availability on this thing out there. Guys, I'll open it up. Is, you know, seeing a new version of this thing out there, you know, some, you know, specialty paint scheme, does it reinvigorate you to maybe try and want to get one of these, knock off or not, to see a big, bad-looking Devastator in your collection? Charles?
I don't know. This Devastator is not really doing it for me. I have the Combiner Wars Devastator.
Okay.
And I like that one, despite the Mixmaster foot weirdness. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This guy, I don't know. There's something about the head design and the body shape. It's just not, doesn't feel like Devastator to me. I don't know. It's weird. I can't put my finger on it, but I mean, it does look very well articulated, and I do like the shiny metallic paint job here, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it. I don't know why.
No, that's fine. I guess I'm personally feeling the opposite way. I mean, I have Combiner Wars Devastator as well. I've always felt mm-hmm. him to be too rigid, I guess. He's very thin and mm-hmm. two-dimensional almost. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, posability to him. And he's cool and all. But I find when I look at this one, I see a little bit more of a chunky bot that, you know, kind of, in, you know, makes it look like the cartoon a little bit more to me. But mm-hmm. that's, you know, personal preference. You can't really, you know, argue with personal preference. Yeah. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on this one?
I'm kind of leaning towards where Charles is. I think it's just the proportion of the head to the body is off.
Okay.
Like, little bitty head. I think that's, I probably said this when we first talked about it. Little bitty head, really like beefy bot. It's just, I don't know. It's off to me. I'm not huge on the chrome. I do like the other color difference, the blue versus the purple. I like that, but it's just, I don't know, it's just off to me, and the price that it's going to be, it's just, I'm not interested.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to be cheap, but yeah. Okay, so Ant, we know your history, and I don't know other people know your history with third-party stuff, so I'll give a brief rundown. You're not a huge fan. Yep. Some would say you hate them with a passion. Let's try to push that aside. And can you see any kind of redeeming qualities in this at all?
Not to be blunt, but for this redeco, it's no.
Okay.
You know, not for the reason of it being third party or anything along those lines, but for this redeco is meant to basically emulate the San Diego version of Combiner Wars Devastator. Yes. Right, with the you know, the vac metal plastic and the shininess, right? But why is there a market for that? What I would want to see as a collector, if I was a third party collector, I would want to see it in yellow or in orange and see like a G2 version, or in that white and red pre-Transformers version, you know, the Diaclone colors, right? Like something weird, shattered glass, something. Mm-hmm. This color scheme doesn't do it for me, not when there's mm-hmm. other options out there.
Right. I can tell you from experience of buying the KO is that at least a yellow version of this is out there. So that is something you can get. And they may have produced the official version in yellow as well, but I just didn't pay attention. But yeah, no, I can totally see that. You can all remember back to, what were they called? Make Toys did a a Devastator, and his cannot remember his name for the life of me, but he seemed to have the tiny head syndrome. And it seems to be something that Devastators seem to suffer from. They got to hide that head in, you know, somewhere. And when they either if it's a connecting part when in the combined form, or if it's something that comes out of the hook figure, then, you know, it's going to be smaller. But yeah, they tend to all seem to fail at having a proportionate sized head. But I do see all your points here. I do have one more redeco to talk about, and this is a smaller one. This is from Mech Fans Toys, and we've talked about them a lot. These guys are notorious for ripping off package art from artists, and they are also notorious for kind of copying for copying molds, specifically like Hasbro molds, and just kind of downscaling them to legend scale or upscaling legends to deluxe scale, like not creative at all. But this is their Black Flame Commander, and it's a legend scale Black Rodimus Prime. And we talked about their regular Rodimus Prime before, because it's a completely new design. Not that we can tell, but it's might be inspired by Power of the Primes. The deco is, anyway. But their design of the figure is completely theirs. Nobody seems to be able to find out where, like, or find a place where they might have stolen this design from. So I'm, for the time being, I'm giving it to Fans Toys that they, or Mech Fans Toys, that they actually designed something themselves. But this is just a simple redeco of their figure into black, creating a Black Rodimus Prime or Nemesis Rodimus Prime, whatever you want to call him. We only have the one picture, but he does come with the Target Master as well, because that's what the original figure comes with. Anything doing for you on this one, Charles?
I mean, I am a fan of the Legends class figures. I am not a fan of the black, you know, evil Rodimus figure color scheme, I guess. The like Black Convoy or Nemesis Prime is really like what I'm interested in the, you know, the swap paint color, I guess, figures, paint
scheme
figures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, I mean, I like I think we've seen and talked about this mold before, like the
original one. Rodimus.
Yeah. And it's a good mold. I mean, it's really cool to see it at that size class. But yeah, I don't need the alternate color scheme.
Jeremy, you do have a bit of an affinity for a Nemesis Prime kind of a color scheme.
I have an affinity for a Nemesis Prime, but that's teal and black, and this is purple and black.
Well, this isn't Nemesis Prime. This is Nemesis Rodimus Prime.
This is Rodimus Unicronus.
This is Black Rodimus Prime.
Yeah, I did not like the Hasbro colors. I don't like these colors.
All right. Simple, concise, and to the point. Yeah. That's Jeremy. and Ant. I mean, legend scale stuff isn't really in the Hasbro wheelhouse. I mean, they do produce Legends class stuff, but it's usually within the main line to kind of serve, you know, the purpose of the main line. Do you find any kind of appeal towards the legend scale stuff?
For me personally, no. I mean, I'm looking at the pictures right now of the original figure, just to kind of get an idea, because since there's only that one picture of the black figure.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it's impressive. The engineering on this figure is pretty impressive. I don't know what the price point is for this, but it's usually a lot higher than what I would like to pay for something legend scale. The black repaint, whatever you want to call it, if Rodimus Unicronus or Black Rodimus, if you want to go all the way back to the e-hobby days when they first started doing it. Yeah, it doesn't really sell me, unless it's got the goatee, which we can't really tell in the vehicle mode.
Yeah, I hope it does. I'm just trying to see here if I can find anything that has a price on it.
TF Direct has the original one for $45.
Well, that's probably it then, yeah.
Yeah, I can buy two deluxes at a store for that at full price.
It's something to kind of keep your mind, or keep in the back of your mind, if you are somebody who's interested in, you know, a black repaint of things. I know there are some of those people out there that do collect that kind of stuff. So, you know, things to think about. Anyway, that's what I brought to the show this week. What did you find, Ant?
Well, what I found was actually shortly before we started recording tonight, and that is Cheatamus of Cheatamus fame. Probably know him from allspark.com and from his customs. He's fairly well known around the fandom. He found in Target the new Cyberverse one-step Repugnus figure with a gruesome chomp action. And this figure is one I don't think we heard about or might have been on a list, but it looks pretty neat. I mean, Repugnus is kind of the right kind of figure for that size class, where it doesn't need to be too overly complicated. It just needs to stand up and turn around, basically, to transform. And it looks like the arms have two ball joints on each, which is a lot for this size class of figure. And he's kind of backpack heavy, but he looks pretty well detailed. What do you guys think?
I think that's the cutest little Repugnus I've ever seen.
This is, I mean, it's interesting how deep they're willing to go in the Cyberverse line. Like, this is a deep pull that you wouldn't expect to see get, you know, get love in a line that's meant, you know, for, it's meant for the kids. So this is not something that, you know, is targeted at collectors who were the ones who were going to be looking at like monster bots. And I mean, this is, you know, this is also, we've had a couple of stealth reveals with this line, with Repugnus here, the Quintessons a few weeks ago.
The Sharkticons.
Yeah, the Sharkticons.
They seem thematic, don't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they're going to go there in season three. Like, what are, in the season three of the cartoon, if they're going to go to, like, because they've already had the Sharkticons on the show in season two. So I wonder if this is a direction.
I like this, though. I like the ability to kind of pull just random things. And for somebody that's just new to the show, they have no idea who Repugnus is. But it looks, like Jeremy said, it looks like it fits with the cartoon-ness of the show. That the, you know, it's not anything that's kind of crazy. The transformation of it is fairly simple. From what I can tell, it actually
just
looks
one
to
step,
be
one step.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the arms kind of pull down or whatnot, right? But I mean, it's definitely less complex than the G1. It's not spitting sparks, so you don't have to worry about that. I like it. I think it's fun and cute. I wonder if they're going to do the rest of the monster bots. Does one in the Cyberverse line constitute, you know, the needing to finish the set, or was that just in the main line?
I think that's just in the main line. There are still Seekers we haven't gotten in Cyberverse. You know, one of the other neat things about this is if you take the recent Repugnus releases over the years, right? You have two in Titans Return, plus this one. You add in the original from G1, which isn't hard to come by, and the one from Universe. Back in the early 2000s, you have a nice little like Repugni family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say my kid has the one of the one-step bumblebees. I think it's from this line. But, I mean, he loves it, and it's just, you know, basically just flips over. And I mean, he can do some of the, like, play scroll transformers I've given him that are more involved. But he loves it because it's so quick. I could see the play value for a kid, you know, 5 to 6 years old, is really high on something like this. So you just get an odd looking character like that, and I can just see a little kid just going nuts, even with his other toys, just this monster just going and destroying and stuff. So I think this is going to be fantastic. And the molding on the robot, just, I know it doesn't really do much, but just the face and stuff, that very much calls back G1 looks to me. So I really like that.
You know, and one thing that I've heard over the years with a lot of lines, especially with Transformers, is that it usually takes them a good 2 years to kind of get the right feel for everything, you know? So whenever they restart every third or fourth year, it's like you have to wait until the end of that line or the middle to end of that line for it to really start to have, like, this great feel. And hopefully that's where they're headed with some of these figures.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Jeremy, what have you got for us?
I have a couple things. The first is, by the time you're hearing this, the Toy Robot Magazine Kickstarter will be live. It, as we're recording this, it's not yet. It's going to go live on Tuesday, February 4th. You can follow their Facebook page, like we mentioned last week, or you can just go to kickstarter.com/projects/ Well, we'll just have the link in the show notes because it's longer than I thought it was. just go to their Facebook page, which is
facebook.com/toyrobotmagazine.
They're going to be posting like crazy about it. Yeah, we just wanted to spread the word that to join the Kickstarter and get in on that. Ant, what were your thoughts about this new magazine starting up?
I thought it was interesting. I like the idea. I like the idea of the toy photography and printed pages. It seems like it'd be something cool to see. The one thing I did have a question for them when I was listening to you guys, and I'm like, oh, this isn't live. I can't ask. Is that one dude writing all of the articles? So it just seems like it's going to sound like all one voice. But I imagine once they get one issue in the bag, like a lot of people start being asking to write some stuff. And I can't imagine.
I think I got the sense that
himself.
The goal is to have other writers.
Yeah. It seemed like something that once they, people started submitting stuff, that'd be more of a magazine by committee, more of a submission policy or something like that.
So, I mean, since the page will be up by the time you hear this episode, you can probably go to their Kickstarter page and ask them if they don't have the info up there. They'll probably say who's contributing to the magazine and what kinds of articles will be there. So hopefully we'll get that information, or you'll already have that information when you hear this.
Yeah, they do have a video up on their Facebook page, but like I said, by the time you hear this, it's going to be live. You can see it all on Kickstarter too. The other thing I have is we have a teaser image of PCS Collectibles Optimus Prime that is going to be a museum scale G1 Optimus Prime statue. It's going to be available at sideshow.com. Sideshow Collectibles does, you know, all of these high detailed statues and stuff. This is going to be about 24.5 inches. So very big. It's going to have, it has the animation look like if you looked at the 35th anniversary figures and how those kind of were made to look. Yeah, cel-shading. That's what I was trying to think of. So it has that look. Just from this one image we have of like his torso, I think this looks pretty good. Again, it's a statue. I'm not too interested in buying it. Ant, what do you think of this? Are you a fan of the statues?
I'm not really a statue fan. I have a couple of the old Hard Hero ones when they went on like super clearance. But, you know, the thing with these kinds of statues, and Jeremy, you might remember, was it Sideshow that had the Optimus and the Grimlock, or the Megatron and the Grimlock at New York Comic Con?
Can't remember. It probably.
So the one thing that's interesting about these, and it's kind of, as a collector, I don't know if I would call it off-putting, but it's just strange because they look weird in person. They look great in photos. And there's like an uncanny valley effect when you look at it in person because it doesn't look like it should be there. And the animation effects don't really work unless you're looking at it through a screen. So for me, like that doesn't really sell me. It's weird because like I'm on a toy, it's kind of works and you can turn and position a toy to kind of make it look a little better. But when you're looking at a statue that's usually under glass or away from you and you can't really mess with it or want to mess with it, it can just be kind of strange to see in person. So yeah, this is a pass for me.
Cool. Well, Charles, we know you are the statue guy. You love these statues. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm assuming he's getting it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he got the Unicron, so you know he's Mr. Moneybags. Sorry, Dr. Yeah. Moneybags.
Dr. Moneybags. He's went to doctor medical school for 8 years to get that title.
Not that kind of doctor. No. Everything they said is a lie, listeners.
You're not really
no,
a doctor.
No, I am... Almost everything they said is a lie. I do not really buy statues, so yeah, this is not. This, yeah, and I agree with what Ant said. The cell shaded look. It's weird because they try to approximate the effect of like lighting hitting the model, but it only works at certain angles. Like if you have it in your person and you're just looking at it, it looks weird to see like light and reflections hitting it from one angle when you can turn and look at it at any angle. So it's just a bit odd there. I think that's why the cell shading doesn't really work in person as opposed to photos. But yeah, and also, I mean, the chest proportions are just a little off for me for this Optimus Prime. I feel like the animation model has a better, the chest windows just look weird.
They're a little small, I think.
Yeah. He doesn't have the right boobs.
Yeah, you gotta take us down to the other. Daryl.
Prime has a very specific set of boobs.
Yeah. But his hands are blue, at least.
Yeah.
That's true.
Daryl, what do you think? Are his boobs too big? Too small?
Well, I'm not comfortable answering that question. I will say this. From when I first seeing the thumbnail for this image, I thought, are they got a picture? Are they got a statue of Optimus Prime dunking a basketball? That's what I thought it was, because it's all kind of, you know, shaded out in the top corner there. I thought, oh, that'd be kind of cool. And then I was disappointed to see he's just holding his gun and pointing, threateningly pointing at somebody he's about to blow away.
I believe that is a pose from the season one opening of the cartoon.
Likely is. I mean, it looks fine. It looks good. I'm not a big statue guy myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, I don't transform my stuff a lot after I get it, but I like to have the option. But other than that, I think it looks good. It looks fine. I have no real qualms about it. It's probably be way too expensive for me to afford it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'd still think that the Flame Toys figures should come with a basketball for Optimus.
Oh, should.
All right. Well, that is all I got this week. Charles, what do you have?
All right. So it's not from Deep Throating, but it is a rumor about upcoming toys in Transformers Earthrise. So we got leaked images for the new models for Transformers Earthrise. So we've already had speculations about Skylynx, and looks like that is confirmed. And of course, we've been teased with Scorponok from New York Comic Con, and that has also been leaked here. So these images do look like, I mean, the font and the printing around the images looks like it's those internal Hasbro documents that we saw got all leaked for Titans Return a few years ago. And it looks like there's a new channel opened up that someone has gotten access to and has now shared them again. So Hasbro they've got another hole in their security that they need to plug for their image and upcoming toy information. But yeah, these images are, unfortunately, they're not that high resolution, so it's a little bit hard to get too much detail, but we do see Skylynx in Griffin mode and shuttle mode, and then a third shuttle and like launch base mode, which I think implies that the shuttle and the launching platform detach. So hopefully that means we get a Lynx and an Eagle mode as well. But we don't see that directly in these images. And then the Scorponok is very much looks like the G1 Scorponok with the robot Scorpion and city mode. So it's nice to, I mean, we've already speculated on these, but it's nice to have them, in full display now. Although we're only 2 weeks out from Toy Fair, so I'm assuming we're going to get really nice reveals of these guys at Toy Fair. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to that now. Ant, do you think this kind of spoils the surprise with these leaks 2 weeks early?
A little bit, but it doesn't spoil all of the surprises. So, like you said, it doesn't. It looks like Hasbro deliberately left images off of this set of images to make sure that not everything was spoiled. So, like Skylynx doesn't have the individual modes on here, but if you look closely at that base mode that's there, you can kind of see what looks like a cattail coming off the edges of the blue piece at the bottom. One on each side. So either the tail splits in half or one is a tail and one is something else. And like you said, you don't see the eagle mode in there either. And then with Scorponok, we don't see Fast Track. We don't see the Titan Master. There's some things there. And the photos are so small that they're lacking detail. We also get two new Battle Masters here, which don't have names and are most likely new characters. And what are they called? There's the Space Patrol guys that are also here.
Micromasters.
And those look like, the Micromasters, and those look like they're, honestly, looks like they just cut and pasted from TF Wiki for those. and so I don't know, you know, so we'll see those in person, but that doesn't mean there aren't more Micromasters to be revealed, and the Deluxes are ones we've seen. So those are Wave 1. We still have a chance to see Wave 2 at Toy Fair in, it's actually... Well, it's less than 3 weeks, but it's more. It's 3 weeks from yesterday, so 3 weeks from this past Saturday.
Oh, okay. I thought it was. Yep. It's usually Valentine's weekend. I'm surprised it's a week later.
Yeah, the last one or two of them have been the week after Valentine's Day. They've kind of moved it back. I think people had a hard time having to figure out which one to do.
Yeah. All right, Daryl. Does this get you excited for Skylynx and Scorponok?
Oh, hell yeah. I am a sucker for these Titan class guys. I've got every single one so far, and Scorponok will in fact be mine. It's Commander class. Skylynx is just, it's a perfect size class for that guy. There was a discussion on Facebook this week that somebody was saying, oh, why wouldn't it be great if we got a Titan class Skylynx? And I'm like, no. No, we're having a Commander class Skylynx, and that's, you know, it's basically confirmed, and then this image shows up today.
That's what Jetfire was, right?
Yeah, it's a perfect size class for this guy. You don't want to dilute the Titan class size with too many figures, because it's a special size class, plus it's crazy expensive. And so a lot of people just can't afford it. And you'll have a lot of really upset people that just can't afford the figures that they're putting out. The Commander class is a great class for this guy. If it doesn't break apart into two pieces, you're going to have a lot of people upset. But there's another discussion thread going on. I'm looking at it right now, where people are trying to compare Scorponok's body to Omega Supreme's. Somebody's saying, oh, this seems pretty similar. But I'm like, yeah, well, they're both Titan class figures and they both are bipedal. So, yeah, they're similar, but there's not a lot of similarities other than that. I mean, yeah, they have two arms, two legs and a head, but it looks very, very different. So once we get clearer images of Scorponok, maybe we can figure out where it might have come from. Or maybe it's a multitude of things. Maybe it's got bits and pieces from a lot of them. There's a big history now of Titan class figures to go back on. But I'd be surprised if they didn't just design something new. The other ones here, the Battle Masters, I'm not really too worried about the Battle Masters. They're just going to be guys that hold shields that turn into ramps, and they're going to kind of be fun things. The Micro Masters, they're still doing what they do. Not really very different than the G1 versions. So for me, they're of no consequence. I'm just going to keep finding the G1s. And keep buying those because they're basically the same. And
the one difference is you're paying twice as much for half as many.
There you go. Yeah. So I'm glad that they're making them. I can't remember what the cars, if they're the Hot Rod Patrol or if they're the Sports Car Patrol. I can't remember. They're one of those guys. I like the fact that they've got these like kooky cars, the sports cars or whatever, the hot rods with the
I think these are the hot rod guys, because the sports car guys we've already gotten Wave 1 of Siege,
but they're fun with the big mag wheels and the engines coming out of the front, and they're just kind of fun. Little kids would love them. get them for your niece or nephew and give them to them and mess around with on a car ride or something like that, and they'll be quiet for about 12 seconds.
But not your son or daughter.
No. No, not your son or daughter.
It'll end up on your floor and you'll step on them.
That's right. And you step on them like Micro Machines and Lego. And the deluxe stuff, I'm over the moon excited about the deluxe line for Earthrise. Wheeljack, the Ironworks, there's so much fun stuff coming out in Earthrise. The entire line of Earthrise, I mean, it says deluxe here, but Voyager, Leader Class, the whole thing is just going to be a whole bunch of fun. These last few years, and you can back me up on this if you want, but these last few years of Transformers going all the way back to Combiner Wars has just been just hit after hit after hit after hit. And the play pattern lines up. You can use your Combiner or your Titan class figures to work with each other, joining them together to make giant cities. And all the stuff kind of fits together. It really is a really fun time, a great play pattern. John Warden's done a fantastic job. I'm really happy with the way Transformers mainline is right now.
Yeah, and you know, to what you said, that I feel like ever since Combiner Wars, they've taken kind of a Marvel Legends approach to the line, creating like groups that, you know, you won't necessarily fill out in the first, you know, in that year or a year later or 2 years later, but they'll pepper one or two in every couple of waves, and all of a sudden you have complete teams and complete sets that all work together.
Yep, I agree.
All right, Jeremy, are any of these figures going to be coming up to Wisconsin for you?
You'll have to talk to the people that handle distribution or the people that don't handle distribution. Sometimes I'm just so frustrated with what I can't find. But I am very excited, particularly about the deluxes. The Ironworks, I cannot wait. I'm going to get my hands on that. The Wheeljack, you know, I'm excited to get a decent Wheeljack. I mean, the last one I guess I got Combiner Wars, but, you know, the Masterpiece is like my favorite Wheeljack right now. The others I'm not as excited about because, you know, honestly, I'm not going to get the Titan class figures unless it's a super discounted price. Commander class, I really wanted to get Jetfire. I didn't. Probably the same thing here with Skylynx. So the realistic ones would be the Micromasters and the Deluxes. And like you said, Daryl, they're just the fun in this line is just so high. So I'm just excited about all of them and, you know, looking forward to seeing what they announce.
And look at the bright side. They're wave one figures. So you'll be seeing them on shelves by you this time next
Hopefully.
Year.
Oh, my God. I'm still seeing wave one figures from Siege. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, it does say fall on the leaked
image. It doesn't say what year, though.
It says.
I'm just looking forward to seeing, like, just knowing the other MicroMaster bases that we had in G1. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do with like the airstrip one or the firehouse, and just seeing the new modern takes on those, especially since they're making them transform into their own figure. I want to see what modern ideas on these classic figures, you know, can turn out to be.
All right. Yeah, the one thing I'm curious about now that we've gotten Jetfire and Skylynx as Commander class figures, we're missing some Decepticons in the Commander class line. I wonder what would be a good candidate for a Decepticon Commander class figure.
We just got Astro Train, didn't we?
No, another Astro Train. They're doing Astro Train every season now, like an Optimus Prime.
Give me a Tarn.
Yeah,
at Commander class.
That would be an out of nowhere surprise.
Yeah, and you would have so many people lose their minds.
Yeah, I wonder if Rung was kind of like testing the waters, and everyone seems to have loved it. So like, okay, I guess we can do more comic inspired figures.
Yeah, the $7 figure worked out well. Let's produce a $70 figure.
I'm just saying, like how they've. It seems like they've used some of the cheaper lines to just test ideas and, you know, see if people like the characters that might not be more well-known in the broader fandom.
That would be great. I mean, I feel like maybe the Decepticon Justice Division is too dark for Hasbro's mainline figures. I don't know. I would be great if they would prove me wrong there, but they don't seem interested in, because James Roberts wrote some, you know, he got some pretty twisted characters in there in More Than Meets the Eye and Lost Light. So we'll have to see. But yeah, that'd be cool. All right, well, that's my toy topic, so let's finish up the toy section with some rapid-fire toys.
Absolutely, positively, definitely, nobody can get the job done faster than I can. Nobody, nobody, nobody!
All right, and it's been a little while since we did a Toy Hacks update, but we got one from January, so we're going to hit up some labels and talk about some new stuff that's got some really cool stuff to label up here. First up, Toy Hacks has done a new sticker sheet for MP45 Bumblebee, and it looks pretty good. The new series of labels that they do for their Masterpiece figures seem to all come with cel-shaded windows. So over the last little while, they seem to have been doing update sets for all their Masterpiece figures and third-party stuff to kind of give them that cel-shaded look on the windows if they have them. And MP45 set comes with them, so you won't have to worry about getting any kind of update set or a second set or a specific set for that. Moving on, we've got some new set or new stuff for some Siege figures. We've got a set for Hotshot, Nightbird, Apeface, and the MicroMaster 10-pack. Hotshot was that figure that you had to get at EB Games here. I'm not sure where you got it there. Might have been Walgreens or GameStop. I don't know where you would have got it in America.
I think it was Amazon.
You had to order it? Oh, that sucks.
I think so. I don't. I didn't look for it, so I don't know.
And then,
or maybe Hasbro Pulse. I don't know.
Might have been. Oh, definitely would have been Hasbro Pulse. You would have been able to get through there. Also, Nightbird. Apeface is one that's available in stores, so we'll concentrate on that one a little bit. Once again, they've done for the windows in the kind of space jet mode thing are cel-shaded. So they're just kind of going with the cel-shaded look on everything now. But yeah, if you wanted some labels to kind of jazz up your Apeface, these are kind of nice. They look pretty good. The MicroMaster 10-pack, I've seen it at Toys R Us here, that's a lot of stickers, and they're all really small. So if you wanted endless hours of frustration, it looks like it would be a fun set to do. But for me, I think there are a lot of small labels in this set, man. Not bad price, though. $840 right now. It's currently on sale. There's a sale on Toy Hack stuff right now. Awesome. Right now, you can also get a Siege Smokescreen set, and this one looks really good. I'm really impressed with this set. This was Smokescreen was also a Hasbro Pulse figure, so you had to order it. But this set makes him gives him a bunch of other decals for like racing car stuff, and kind of makes him look a little bit more Smokescreen like. He gets the little decal on the side that says. That gives the racer name, the Gambler, throwback to that G1 episode. And, gives the cel-shaded look on the windows as well. So it looks pretty cool. This one's an interesting one for Jeremy. Galactic Man, you are the only one I know that has Galactic Man. And this set makes Galactic Man look super badass.
I was just looking at those.
So it looks really cool. There's a couple different variants that you can do for them to kind of, you know, turn them into a different looking thing, like maybe like a G1 Galactic Man if you wanted to, but there's some really cool stickers on this set, so you could really take a peek at that.
They have one that changes where it says Galactic Man to Astro Magnum.
Oh, there you go. Cool. Continuing on with some more like exclusives or harder to find figures, there's a set for Generation Selects Star Convoy, and this was a harder figure to find, but it's a really cool remold of that Optimus Prime mold, and some new labels on this do really kind of perk it up and make the make it look a little bit more jazzed up, shiny. We've got one third-party entry here. This is for Transform Element. It's their TE-01. That's their Masterpiece scaled Optimus Prime. I think it's their Masterpiece scaled one. It might be their Legends. I can't tell. All of these start to look the same after a while. Let's just say it's a Optimus Prime, a third-party Optimus Prime. It gives them the cel-shaded windows. It gives them a couple other stickers. And it really starts to bring out some of the features of the figure. And yeah, it looks really awesome. Yeah. Take a look at that. Also, it's only $840 right now. So if you're looking for something like that. And lastly, this one's really cool. This is Toy Hacks has just started this new section of their site called Toy Hacks Armory. And it's not stickers. It's weapons. And they are doing 3D printed weapons for your favorite characters. So in there right now, it's a brand new section. So there's not a lot. There's a total of 7 things in this section right now. But you can buy a rifle for Mirage. It's the G1 Mirage gun. A rifle for Jazz. Rifle for Prowl. Rifle for Hound. Rifle for Sideswipe. And the rifle for Ratchet. Ratchet's is in red. So that's kind of fun. But the one that kind of got me is you got the hollow gun for Hound in here. And this one's kind of cool because it's the gun that they gave Hound because the artist misrepresented the size of the gun in the box art. So they gave him this kind of squat gun, and there you have it. You can now buy this gun and give it to your figure. So I like that. That's kind of cool. And it's really cheap. It's on for currently the sale has it on for $660. So if you want it, you can pick it up, and that's really neat. Yeah, I think that's cool. But that's it. That's all we got from Toy Hacks this week.
All right. Well, lots of good stuff to choose from. Maybe Rick, something on there might be something you could pick for your $10 gift code that you can redeem. Check out one of these sets, or something else for one of your older figures. So let us know. And congratulations again to Rick for winning our $10 gift code this month, or last month, I should say, January. Yeah. Check out toyhacks.com for all your sticker and decal needs.
I almost said it twice during that. I had to catch myself twice.
You know, one thing about that Galactic Man Shockwave set, it has an alternative face sticker to make him into Long Arm for those Transformer animated fans out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That's a deep cut.
Yep. Well done, Toy Hacks. All right. Well, that's all our toy discussion for this week. So let's move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off all the cool Transformers merchandise we bought this week. We do this as a video that you can see on YouTube, so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition. But we also will put the audio right here in the show so you can continue to listen as we describe everything in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right, well, let's get into the stuff we got this week. And we'll start off with Jeremy.
All right, this is not something I got this week, but something I opened this week. Shown it off before, but the Siege Megatron 35th anniversary, I finally opened it. I like it. The cell shading doesn't, like we were talking about earlier, it doesn't really work so well in person, but it's better than the mud look that a lot of Siege figures have, so I'll take it. I like the look of his fusion cannon. Nice. Like a nice length. I like how if you peg it all the way in, it looks like it's, they really don't have much of a space there, so it just looks like it fits on his arm. And yeah, this is just, it seems like a fun figure. Looking forward to getting his nemesis and opening him up and having something to show next week. So
spoilers.
You don't know if I'll actually do it or not. I'll probably have a comic next week too. That's all I got.
All right. I will go next. I didn't show this off before, but I did want to give a shout out to Livio Remondelli, his new creator owned book that he's doing, The Kill Lock. It's Transformers adjacent, because it is about Living Robots. So check out the Kill Lock. It's a limited series. I think it's going to be 6 issues. Issues 1 and 2 are out. I've only got issue 1 so far. My comic store is back ordered issue 2. Hopefully I'll get it soon. But it's a really cool concept and a neat story, and it's all about sentient robots. So Livio, nice job. Cool. We're looking for more from you, and we're also looking forward to the end of Transformers Galaxies, the Constructicon series. So hopefully that'll be coming along soon. I also wanted to show up. Yeah. I don't think I've shown the latest issues of Transformers that I picked up. So issue 15 is here, and then issue 16, which we reviewed last week. So the series is really picking up. I'm enjoying it more now. We're three story arcs into the new series, and I think it's actually hitting its stride. It took a little while to get there, but I'm hoping the pace continues now. And last thing, I got some more tapes, G1 tapes, Decepticon tapes from Walmart. So this is Frenzy and Buzzsaw.
Try again.
Oh, Laserbeak. Sorry.
You're looking at the tech spec on the back.
Yeah.
Here, I thought you meant that it wasn't Frenzy.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, some would argue this is Rumble since he's blue and from the cartoon, but the toy is Frenzy, and yes, Laserbeak, not Buzzsaw. Buzzsaw comes with Soundwave. I should have my my G1 card revoked for that.
You should.
But yeah, so very very forgiving, Daryl. Thanks for forgiving me.
You learn it back. You learn it back.
So this is so I showed off the other tapes a little while ago, so now I have all 4 of the original tapes minus Buzzsaw, who comes with Soundwave. And I don't have the Soundwave reissue yet, so I'm hoping to see that in stores at some point. So these are the tapes I never had as a kid. I did have a Soundwave as a kid, but I never had any of the other tapes. I only got the latter tapes, Slugfest and Overkill, but I never had any of the original tapes. So this is literally reclaiming my childhood here. So cool. All right, Ant, we're going to move on to you. What do you got to show us?
All right, so I got a couple of things that I got sent to me in the mail to review, and working on that at the moment. And one of these is thanks actually to Jeremy for giving me the information on who to talk to, and that is this book here.
Oh, nice.
Transformers, A Visual History by Jim Sorensen. And I know you guys have talked about this book, and it is just, I mean, I'm going to hold a random page. It's heavy, yes, and it is gorgeous. I found myself, I was like, oh, I'll look through it a little bit, and then you find yourself going one page at a time and kind of staring at everything, and then next thing you know, it's 45 minutes later, and you have a lot to do. So that is one thing that I've gotten lately. And the other thing, and this is, I want to show you guys something kind of unique. So being part of the community and running my site for as long as I have, you get some perks from Hasbro every now and again. And one of which is, I'm going to stand up here for a second, because this is just the outer box. I don't know if you can see it. So sometimes they send me these great BotBots mailers to review. And they say things like, they say things like Transformers on the side. And they have the hashtags on. They used to say BotBots inside, but inside,
I love
this,
that it said like everyday objects, not robots or something.
Yep. Yeah. No. Absolutely not robots. And it comes in this box here, and I haven't opened this up yet. But this is a big chunk of the next series of BotBots, the Gold Rush Games ones, and they're wrapped in a bow in this really cool box. I don't know exactly what's inside because I didn't get to untie the bow just yet, but that is the other thing I want to show off. So I'm looking forward to actually opening those up and taking a look at what's inside there.
That's cool. We looked at a lot of the images released from that line last week.
And it's a fun line. I don't know exactly how the numbering system works, but there are people that keep track of some of that stuff if you need to do like a cheapest minimum buy of those guys.
That's cool. You should save those boxes too.
Those
boxes are like very limited collector's items there.
There's a handful of ones that I've gotten over the years, and it's like I just did a huge packaging purge when I moved, and all that stuff that was like, hey, I don't think anyone else really has this, totally got kept.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, so Daryl, I believe it's up to you now.
Oh yeah, me. Okay. Well, I don't have anything that special.
All right. Well, thanks for watching.
But I do have a couple things. So this week, I have to thank DJ Ronan for sending me a message out in our Discord about a sale at Walmart, which doesn't ever happen, and it's specifically on Siege figures. Now, he got the message from Proto Man, who just blasted it out on Twitter, I guess, but I never saw it. But anyway, DJ Ronan sent out the message. I went and saw it, and then I ran out to Walmart to see if my Walmart had anything, and I ended up picking up Siege Astro Train. And you'll say, okay, well, what's the big deal? What kind of sale would Walmart have? Well, in Canada, Siege figures or Siege leader figures are $70. And so I picked him up and he was $39. So it was 40% off. It was a huge sale on these things. And all Siege figures are 40% off. So sadly, I already had most of them. So I didn't buy any others, but this was one that I was like on the fence about, and I was really not looking forward to spending $70 on a figure, especially a mainline kind of figure that I've gotten a bunch of in the last little while. But I spent $40. That's no problem. So he's kind of fun. I'm really not looking forward. I don't like the damage on the legs, so that's coming off. I'm gonna take that off when I get an opportunity to do that. He does come with, and I mean, he's really. I don't have one. Well, I mean, here's this. This is Age of Extinction Evasion Mode Prime. And, I mean, they're really not that different in height. And, I mean, he's a Voyager, right? So they're really pretty close in height. So the leader aspect of Astro Train is really this extra little bit that you get. And it's just a little plug-in piece on the back of the train. Actually, it's upside down. There you go. You just kind of plug it into the back, and it gives him a little bit of extra space there. So I was messing around with it yesterday, and I figured out a way to actually get every single one of his guns into it. So it's actually now holding every single thing. So so it's a good little weapon storage thing. So, yeah. But other than that, I really haven't figured out the point of this thing other than being... this little car like carrier bit, I can tell that he can stand, like Astro Train can stand on those little platforms, but they don't really do much. So there's not a big point to it. I haven't opened the instructions, and I haven't gone to YouTube to see if there's anything on there, but I'll mess around with it a bit more and see if I can come up with anything for it. But it's got a bunch of things that we'll turn them into a base. Like there's little tabs right on the end of it that are like for connecting to a base. So yeah, there's a bunch of stuff there for him. He looks fun. He's interesting, but again, he's another Astro Train that we've gotten a bunch of, and all three modes look good. I was able to figure them all out pretty easily. but the one thing that I did get this week that I've been kind of messing around with, have not transformed him yet because I'm terrified of doing it, is I picked up a knockoff of Masterpiece Megatron. And this was at my local comic book store, and they were selling it for about $100 or so. And so I picked it up, and I've been going through it, and it's got some loose joints, a couple little wiggles here and there. This thing flops around like crazy. But other than that, it's pretty solid.
Is it a knockoff of MPO?
It's got all the bits.
Like the first one or the new one?
Oh, the new one. Yeah, the new one. Nobody would buy a knockoff of that. They don't even want the original one. But yeah, so no, I've gone ahead and I've cleaned out the batteries and the thing works. Like, there you go. Yeah, so all the sound effects work. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But yeah, I'm at one of these days I'm going to actually sit down and figure out how to transform them, because it looks pretty complex. But yeah, so though this was kind of fun. He does seem to have an issue standing, so combined with the die-cast feet and the wiggly hips, he seems to fall over pretty easily. So I don't know whether I'll be able to kind of tighten anything or whatnot, but I'll play around with them. $100 for a masterpiece figure of Megatron, I was pretty happy with that. Plus, it was from my local comic book store, so I really didn't pay any actual money. It was just, you know, stuff I'd worked up towards. So yeah, but that was my week. That's what I picked up.
So you don't have the original MP36?
No, I don't. Okay. I didn't pick him up.
Cool.
I was looking at getting one of the the knockoffs with, you know, some of the third party add-ons to make it like a better Megatron, and I never ended up pulling the trigger on it. So yeah, when this thing popped into the store, I thought, you know what, I'm just gonna pick this up. So yeah, I was pretty happy. I have Despotron in the back there, and I've been pretty happy with the Make Toys Despotron. It's been a really good figure.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, well, that will wrap up trips to the store this week.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we'll move on to convention news.
All right, a bit of interesting news in the convention world this week. No toy announcements or anything, but...
I'm out.
Botcon.com got an update. What was that?
Oh, I said you said no toy announcements or anything, and I said I'm out.
Oh, yeah. Well, the botcon.com website, as well as their Twitter and Facebook accounts, all got updates this week. And with this, like, kind of work in progress image, you know, please pardon our mess. And, you know, the fandom is like going crazy with speculation.
Unfortunately, we recorded this episode the day before the big BotCon reveal, so this commentary is a little bit out of date. So we only speculate on what the BotCon return could be without any information about the actual reveal. But we did get to record our full reaction to the BotCon announcement in this week's convention news segment of Transmissions Alt Mode that will be out this Friday. We now return you to our regularly scheduled Transmissions Podcast.
I mean, literally, we just have an image, and then the title text of the botcon.com site says botcon ? I don't know. I checked the domain information, and it's still owned by Fun Publications. I think it was Rob Springer mentioned in a comment that he saw there was like a transfer pending, but I didn't see that. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Is BotCon coming back? Do you think that there's going to be like an official Transformers convention coming up in the next couple of years?
I would like it to come back. I mean, I think it had a long history. It's something that a lot of people enjoyed. And I was sad to see it go in favor of HasCon a couple of years ago. So I think it would be great to come back.
Cool.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't think if it's Fun Publications involved, I don't think it's an official convention. I don't think it's going to have the Hasbro seal of approval. I don't think it's going to have the official license. I don't think those two companies parted ways on good terms. And so I can't imagine. I mean, look, stranger things have happened, but I can't imagine that's what it would be. It would be some sort of convention in an unofficial capacity, if I was to speculate. Do we need another fan-run convention because that's what that is at that point, right? If it's not official, then it's essentially a fan-run convention. I mean, they're always good to go to, but it doesn't really do anything for me when there's a world with, you know, TFCon and a dozen other smaller cons.
Well, and TFCon's already kind of pretty much doing two U.S. and one Canadian convention every year. Right.
And for Hasbro, I don't think, you know, look, HasCon, for what it was, and having been there, it wasn't BotCon. And I think I went to 14 BotCons before they were gone. So the two experiences are entirely different. The experiences from BotCon to BotCon were entirely different. But I don't think that was the goal of HasCon. That was to appeal to a very much a mass audience and to Hasbro's main market kids, right? So to appeal to collectors and to appeal to fans in this day and age, you know, the big conventions serve them well, and they don't even have official presence at those conventions most of the time. They don't do a booth at Toy Fair, New York Comic Con. They don't do a booth at San Diego. Well, actually, they do a booth at San Diego, but you know, that gets them so much more exposure than anything they could do on their own. Without all the cost or hassle of putting on your own event, I just don't see an advantage for Hasbro to do.
Well, Daryl, I think you're the only one here that has not been to a BotCon before.
Yeah, that would be right.
If it did come back, would you be interested in going?
It would depend on a couple of things. I was definitely, you know, well into the fandom when BotCon was still existing, but there was a lot of things keeping me from it. First of all, it's within the U.S. only, which made it difficult for me to get to.
Yeah, you finally got your legal stuff worked out.
Exactly. I can enter the country again. Distance was one. And that's not impossible. Those things are easily, you know, remedied. But the other thing was at the end of their tenure, BotCons were expensive. They were really expensive. Mm-hmm. So, do we want to look, you know, back at that? I mean, has it gotten to the point where we're looking at BotCon with nostalgia glasses on now? You know, do we remember just the good times and not the crazy, you know, prices of, you know, the figures that they were producing? You know, would they be able to produce figures again? That's the big question. I like Ant's theory that they come back as a fan-run convention because it doesn't look like the possibility of them being sponsored by Hasbro is an option right now. But it's, you know, could the Transformers convention circuit survive with a BotCon, fan-run BotCon, and a TFCon during the same year, right? Where TFCon has definitely filled the gap of BotCon. It's an interesting kind of, you know, way to look at it. I do, you know, as a fan, I look back at my lack of experiencing a BotCon and wish I had at least gone to one. But I mean, I don't, it's not something that I kind of think about now with them kind of posting these kind of teasers thinking, okay, you know, now I'll get my shot. I'm not sure. The BotCon name holds a certain kind of prestige, and I'd hate to see whatever this is tarnish that, because a lot of people have a lot of good memories of BotCon.
But do you think the memories of BotCon are of the convention itself or of the interactions with people? Because, you know, BotCon changed hands a number of times during my time going. And,
sure.
You know, and there were good and bad to everything, you know, and some had more good than bad. And, you know, in fact, it wasn't even called BotCon for 2 years. It was called the Official Transformers, you know, Fan Club Convention or whatever it was, right? OTFCC. Yeah. And there was an unofficial BotCon. Well, there's an unofficial BotCon that year that didn't necessarily feel like a BotCon. I didn't make the trip for it because it was unofficial, right? So... Mm-hmm. You know, my memories of BotCon are always more about the interactions. We used to say among my circle of friends, especially as the convention got more expensive, that, you know, the official stuff kept getting in the way of us hanging out. We used to say BotCon keeps getting in the way of BotCon. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that was always our thinking. And I think, you know, can you have that experience at another convention, at a TFCon or at a local convention? I feel like more and more these days that's becoming a little bit more accessible, where you don't necessarily need an official convention or an unofficial convention that just carries the name BotCon.
Right. No. And not-
yeah. I mean, I think TFCon has really taken over that. I mean, when I go to TFCon now, it is more for seeing the people that I've seen at all these other conventions and just reconnecting, you know, getting to hang out with people like Daryl and Charles that, you know, we rarely get to be in the same place at the same time. And I think that's more of the attraction to me now than just going for the guests and stuff, which it is nice. But, you know, if you've seen Dan Gilvezan half a dozen times, you've probably heard all of his stories and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, you're not really going to, you know, you can give up your seat for someone that's never been and heard him.
No, and that's, yeah, that's true. But I get what you're saying. I mean, you've, when we go to a convention, myself, I personally, I can choose how busy I want to be, right? So, I mean, if there's, you know, if there's a whole bunch of stuff during the schedule that we as a podcast want to get done, right? We can say, look, I mean, we're in this room from such and such a time to such and such a time. The, you know, the dealer room's going to be closed at, you know, only a half an hour after we get done here. You know, basically Saturday's shot. Like, I mean, we're going to have to do something on this and this to even be able to get chatting with, you know, this guy or this guy. It, you know, we choose how busy we're going to be. So, I mean, with regards to, you know, functioning as a as an official podcast or sorry, an official convention or as an unofficial convention, right? You can choose how busy you want to be, right? It's definitely, I can see your point as being a one man show, as you know, regarding, you know, your site, and that's insane, right? There was a the year that Charles had to leave early for TFCon, I was left on the second day entirely by myself and trying to do the work of two people, three actually, but it was impossible. So nothing got done essentially. And that's just choosing, you know, choosing your battles on that one. But I mean, if it turned out to that BotCon came back as an official show and they were going to start bringing in all these reveals and all these other things, then yeah, I mean, yeah, it could be busy, right? But again, you choose how busy you want to be.
Well, we have some feedback here from Gabe that he's asking if we would be interested in going to a convention where no third party products were offered. And I think it, in that assumption, we're assuming that
it comes back official. You
know, that it comes back as an official convention. Personally, I think I would. I'm, you know, I'm kind of a take it or leave it with third party stuff, because I mean, like I said, I'm more for the people. I assume Ant is probably on that side too. So I don't know. What would you guys think about a Transformers convention with no third party?
I mean, I think I would be fine with that, but I think unfortunately, what Ant said is true, that Hasbro probably doesn't see an upside for saving some of their reveals for BotCon. Like when I went in 2014, they basically revealed a bunch of Combiner Wars stuff at BotCon, which was in June. And then they did the big reveal for the actual Combiner Wars stuff in July at SDCC. Like they, at BotCon, they revealed a bunch of figures. They didn't they showed the new Optimus Prime that was actually a remold of Motor Master, but they didn't reveal that it was, you know, a combiner. And they had like a silhouette of the aerial bots as Superion. So you knew combiners were coming, but they hadn't announced the Combiner Wars line yet. But they showed off a bunch of other stuff. But they were very cool reveals. Like I remember being very impressed at all the stuff they showed off. But then they used SDCC to really show off Superion and Menasor and the Combiner Wars gimmick and everything.
And I think it does make sense, like what Ant was saying.
Yeah,
you get so much more press at those events. Like
yeah,
you get like all the press is already covering the event. and you're just being able to take advantage of that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think what I liked about BotCon, of course, the interaction with people is awesome. That's the main reason you go. I did like the little stuff they do with the exclusive repaints they do. And then they do a convention story behind it, or, you know, all the stuff that they did with the newsletter that tied into their it's essentially fan fiction, but, you know, it's kind of sort of officially blessed fan fiction, but not really, I guess. I like that aspect. Didn't like the price. I mean, I think part of the reason that it was so expensive was because they were they're paying for a license from Hasbro to do official Transformers stuff. So they're basically, that money has to come from somewhere. That's how they justify the cost of charging so much, and then the exclusive figures too. I think the year is big enough for multiple Transformers conventions. Like, if you spread them out over the year, I think if you put them in different locations, it gives more fans the opportunity to go to a convention. So I think a BotCon could still survive even with two TFCons in the U.S. now. And I don't know if TFCon is going to continue with two a year in the U.S. We'll see. But I think a BotCon could survive. I think it could survive even as just a fan-run convention without Hasbro support, as, you know, just another kind of fan-based meetup. I mean, essentially, that's how BotCon started, right? I mean, BotCon started as a thing generated by fans. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't an official. I mean, it became an official Hasbro convention because, you know, it was basically the only Transformers convention around, and they got Hasbro's blessing there. I think the aspect that we all care about is having a place where fans get together and see each other. And like, as Jeremy said, we're all around different parts of the country. There are very few opportunities where we get to all hang out together. And it has a Transformers focused convention has the advantage of not being overwhelming like a New York Comic Con or a San Diego Comic Con, where it's everything, and really Transformers is kind of drowned out with all the superheroes and other sci-fi properties. And having something that's really focused on Transformers is nice. But yeah, I mean, TFCon fills that niche, but I do think there would be space for a BotCon. I don't know what form that will take, and there are all these other factors we've already mentioned would play a part. So that there's really lots of open questions there.
And if you think about it, right, like, Hasbro has basically replaced all the things that have made having an official convention necessary, right? So if you go back to the heyday of BotCon, like the late 90s, early 2000s, like, first off, you had two big days for reveals in terms of what it was. Year-wide, it was Toy Fair and it was BotCon, and that's how you basically found out the toys for the year. Now they spread that out to a bunch of different conventions. They stay in the news, you know, they create a news cycle essentially. Yeah. So there's,
and they've been going worldwide, right, to different,
and so they do something in Europe, they do a couple, you know, they did, you know, the UK, Paris, Italy, they did a whole, you know, a couple ones in the US, they did a show in Canada, they did a show in Mexico. Like, they find ways to pepper that out throughout the year. Then we get to the thing that I think it was Daryl, you said it, right? Like, about how it being too expensive. Well, that came out of having 20 toys per show, right? Before FunPub took over, the most exclusives we had for an entire show were 4 toys and a handful of PVC figures. If you take that and you put that into Hasbro Pulse and Generation Selects, now you've effectively replaced the fan club and the need for convention exclusive toys, because you release your Selects toys around the conventions. So they've found ways to kind of take those little things and kind of spread them out to other locations. They give out posters at these conventions. They do little bits and pieces here that are kind of exclusive for the folks that were there, right? So the only thing they don't have is the fan interaction, which, like Charles said, is replaced by TFCon or the smaller cons.
Yeah, I agree. They're kind of, I really, after all this talk, I don't see a reason it's going to come back as an official thing. So I guess that is it for convention news. We will see, you know, we will be following this. I'm sure when the site's updated again, we'll be talking about it.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode of Transmissions. Again, want to thank Ant for joining us this week, and we're also going to have him back on Transmissions Alt Mode, so stay tuned for that on Friday. Ant, where can people find you on the internet and all the good stuff that you produce?
All right, so I'll give you the easiest one. So my podcast is Transformers University. You can find that basically everywhere you find Transmissions. So if you're listening to this show right now, just search Transformers University and you'll be able to find it. If you want to reach out to me, I'm generally on Twitter at TFU_info. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube as TFU Info, all one word. And, of course, the website, once again, is www.tfu.info, no.com on the end of that.
Awesome. And we will have links in the show notes as well. So if you can't remember all that as you're listening, just go to the show notes page and you'll find all the links there and they'll be easily clickable. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
I'm very impressed. My wife sat through, and my daughter sat through the entire football game.
I'm impressed you sat through the entire football game, Daryl.
Well, I give myself one to sit through per year, and that's the Super Bowl. It's just, they're so boring. Oh, my Lord. Nothing happens. Then when something happens, it's only 5 seconds. I'm like, what, did I miss it? It was 5 seconds. The hockey fight? Holy shit. Yeah, 10 guys fighting at once was phenomenal.
Now it's time for the real exciting season to start. Baseball.
Oh, God. Oh boy. Hey, guys, I can't remember. Did we already do the rapid fire with Ant? I think we did, didn't we?
I think
you did.
Yeah, okay. I should ask Ant. You probably remember we don't.
He's been trying to forget.
Thing is, I still remember my answers for most of it.
All right. And we will see you next time, everyone. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
See ya.
That was terrible.
Smooth. Later.
Let me do that bye. Again.
No, nope, it's too late.
We can end the show.
It's done.
Ha ha ha.